ये इंटरनेशनल गेम है, इसमें दिमाग से खेला जाता है, गुस्से से नहीं।
Hello everybody and welcome to the second episode of Hoop Darshan.
Wow. Hoop Darshan.
Yeah. Hoop Darshan, for any of our listeners who may be new to the podcast, is the first ever India basketball podcast, and that's a very loose term. We could talk about tons of different things. If you haven't checked out our previous episode already, please do so. We had an interview with the head coach of the men's national team, Mr. Scott Fleming, and it's a interview well worth checking out. And today we have something new as well, but we'll get to that soon. And before that, I just wanted to inform you guys about plenty of different ways of reaching us. You could follow the podcast's Twitter feed at Hoop Darshan. You could find us on Facebook, again search for the word Hoop Darshan, and we are also available on plenty of other platforms like SoundCloud, iTunes, everywhere. We're all over the place like Indians are in the world, and all you have to do is just search for Hoop Darshan. And now that we have that out of the way, let me officially say hello to Karan. What's up, Karan? How's it going?
What's up, Kaushik? Hey, Kaushik, I just have one question. Like, why should people listen to us? Like, who are we to talk about this stuff? Like, you need to get that out there, man. Like, why are we so important?
Absolutely. So it's really simple. It's just two big basketball fanatics who wanted to do something about, you know, bringing a little bit of awareness to basketball in India, and just a forum for, you know, basketball fans. What gives us the credentials? Absolutely nothing, just that we are fans. And me personally, I've been playing basketball since I was in maybe sixth grade, and I've played for school teams, college teams, and I now play for a club team in my city in Bangalore. And that's it. Those are my qualifications, and I'm just a big fan of the game. But Karan, you of course have a very, very good and popular blog, and you also write for plenty of publications. So what made you get into this?
No, I wished I played more basketball than watched and wrote about this much basketball. Like, it's the basketball coverage has taken away from my actual basketball playing time. But yeah, I write the Hoopistani blog, and you guys should check it out. One of the platforms where I work with is NBA India. And that brings us on to our guest today, because our guest today is Akshay Manwani, who's been my NBA India co-blogger for about 5 years. What's up, Akshay?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well.
It's a pleasure being here with you guys.
You know, it's such a crazy world that, like, I've known Akshay for about 5 years now. Like, we email
yes.
each other almost every single day because we are both on... we're both with NBA India, but I've never actually met Akshay, and
wow.
that's the craziness of this. Yeah, it's so crazy.
As Karan said, it's been 5 years, and those 8 months in those 5 years, my wife keeps saying that it's almost like, you know, she is competing for my affection with Karan. You know, the only defense I have is that, you know, at least I haven't even seen or met Karan, you know, face to face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then maybe you gotta keep it that way.
Yeah, exactly. You may not want to meet me, so but okay. So let's get to who Akshay is. Like, this guy is one of the most varied sort of writers I've ever come across. Like, his repertoire is insane. I think, Akshay, correct me if I'm wrong in any of this, but you started off. I don't know how you started off, but you definitely were big as a cricket journalist.
Before that, I was a management student, and, you know, I had worked in the corporate world and all of that. But then I worked as a journalist. There was a switch in careers. I worked as a journalist. I worked with the BCCI. I covered the Cricket World Cup, the IPL, the Champions League T20. I'm also a big cinema buff and Hindi cinema buff, and a lot of my writings are on popular Indian culture within the Hindi cinema space. The one thing which has kind of been, you know, a consistent thread for the last 25 years in my life has been, basketball and watching the NBA. I'm about 1979 born, but since 1990, I remember, you know, those earliest images of the Bulls and Jordan, you know, coming into our homes with, you know, star game of the week, if I remember, was back then.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, and since then, I was just hooked. I was just hooked to this beautiful sport.
You know, Akshay has two very varied fan groups who may not even know that the other fan group exists. Like he's got followers from his, I think he wrote a best-selling biography of the poet Sahil Ludhianvi, if I'm saying his pronouncing his name correctly.
Yes,
I think, so there's this whole group of people who love, you know, old school Bollywood music and old school Bollywood poetry, who are probably fans of Akshay's work. And then there's a bunch of guys who don't know anything about that, who love the NBA, who are a fan of Akshay's work.
That's me.
And never the twin shall meet.
Yeah, it's very different worlds, actually, because, you know, people fail to understand that, you know, someone who has that kind of a background and, you know, why would someone then want to straddle this world, which is, you know, cool, all about, you know, windmill slam dunks and, you know, it's a very different world. So, but it basically boils down to, you know, whatever I'm passionate about. So that's why I'm here.
That is a great thing you say. So before anything else, when Karan introduced you, the first thing that stuck to me was you're probably the role model or the thing that half of the youth of India looks up to, because everyone wants to quit their corporate jobs. Everyone wants to do something like sports writing. And it's pretty amazing that you've been a success story in this. So and the second part of it, of course, is I was really curious, like, why basketball?
The thing with basketball is, you know, I'm actually very much a part of that, you know, the Jordan age, you know, and this is a point that I was making in a piece that I wrote very, very recently, that, you know, with Jordan's coming, you know, it's Magic and Larry Bird who make the NBA popular and, you know, give it that prime time space in the US, because NBA games weren't telecast live, you know, when these guys came into the league. But, you know, their popularity kind of catapulted the game into, you know, the same kind of popularity the other sports had. And then Jordan's coming into the game just took it to another level where he made it a global sport. And, you know, I was belonging to that generation. You know, we used to have World This Week coming into our homes Pranoy Roy hosting that show. And, you know, every other week he would have some kind of snippets from inside the NBA. And of course, if it was the late 80s, early 90s, those snippets invariably had Jordan, Johnson, Isaiah Thomas and all those guys. So, you know, I was pretty much, you know, there was something very fascinating about those images. You know, there were these men who were dunking the ball as if, like, you know, it was a tennis ball in their hand. And also basketball was a big game in school in Don Bosco, Delhi, you know, which is the school that I went to. It was one of the games that Don Bosco was good at. Few games that Don Bosco was good at. We produced a consistently, a good team over the years. So I think it was just a kind of a coming together of several things. But I think, of course, you know, the whole explosion of the game with Jordan, and I continue to maintain that I have yet to see a more remarkable individual athlete with his accomplishments in a team sport. It's mind blowing.
You know, you will not find an argument with me. I think every time somebody breaks a record, it's either Will Chamberlain or Michael Jordan's record, you know, and Will, it was in a different era. So if you look at the post 70s era, like, pretty much Jordan owns every single great record you can think of. And, you know, plus the fact that he, you know, he won so much. There's no comparison. I'm sorry, LeBron and Kobe fans. Sorry if you're going to cry after this, but they're not Jordan. Like, it's not going to happen.
And Karan, you know, the you and I both know, and I think Kaushik also knows, that, you know, perhaps a basketballer's greatest years, you know, by the time they mature, with their coming into the league, you know, I think 5-6 years go by, and you know, I think that age between 26 to about 30 to 33 is when they're at their prime.
Mm-hmm.
And it's scary to think that, you know, between those 6-7 years, this man actually stepped out of the game for 2 years, or almost, yeah.
Crazy,
so
yeah.
If he played that long, he might, you know, the Chicago might have won everything between 91 to 98.
I think they probably would have. Like, it would have been great to see, though. Like, I know, Kaushik, we're going off record a bit, but this is a great conversation. Like,
no,
it would have been
no.
Great.
The purpose of this podcast is to go off road like this.
it would have been great to see that mid 90s, like, Rockets team with Olajuwon play against the Jordan Bulls team. Because I remember a quote where Jordan really said if there's one guy that he kind of thought would match up. Not matchup position wise, a matchup in terms of like talent intensity wise was Olajuwon. Like Olajuwon in those mid 90 years was unbelievably good, and I don't know if those would have been some good NBA finals if those would have happened. Olajuwon in his prime, and Bulls 94-95.
That is true.
Yeah, and I just want to share two things over here. On this conversation, one is that, you know, like you said, Karan, Jordan maintained this. You know, I think this was for NBA 2K series where he was asked to pick his top five, the four guys he would like to play with on a team with him. And he, without batting an eyelid, he said Pippen, James Worthy, Magic, and Hakeem. And he said, I have no chance of losing. I have no chance of losing because Hakeem, if you look at it, he was top 10 in blocks, in rebounds, in points scored. He was just a force.
Yeah,
the
he was
only
insane.
Other thing which I noticed very interestingly, and this is something we must consider, you know, these are great speculation points, is that apparently between 91 to 93, in the 6 regular season meetings that the two teams had, Houston and Chicago. Do you know what was the scoreline in those 6 meetings?
No, enlighten us.
Houston had a 5-1
advantage
against Chicago.
Wow.
And it is, I was reading an interview by one of the players' teammates, I forget the guy's name, and he was saying that, you know, it's just that we matched up so well against Chicago with Hakeem's presence, and you know, these are the years where they didn't have Luke Longley.
I think they had
91 to 90.
Horace Grant, and
they had Horace Grant, and they had
Cartwright,
the other
right?
guy
Cartwright.
Cartwright.
Yeah.
They had Cartwright.
Yeah.
So, you know, Cartwright wasn't Luke Longley. You know, he was more of a just a, you know, not a very strong kind of post presence. Certainly not of Hakeem's level.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
it's just interesting to speculate what could have been had those teams squared up, had Jordan not left the league, and then in 94, 95, these teams might have clashed.
I felt that it's just teams with the kind of transcendently good big guys could have possibly stopped those Bulls, which the other team, only other team I can think of is the 2000 and 2001 Lakers. Maybe not the 2002 Lakers, but 2000-2001 when Shaq was just insanely the most dominant force. Kobe was, you know, like Kobe was okay. By 2001, he became pretty good. But
you know what? I would even go a little bit before that. If things had worked out in Orlando between Penny and Shaq, and you know, they remained fit, maybe even that would have been the good matchup.
The one thread through it all, at least through the Bulls and the Lakers, is the Zen Master. You know, like, he made it all work. And we got to give the guy the credit. Like, Phil Jackson had his fingers over all of this. So,
G-O-A-T.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, Kaushik, you want to bring us to the breaking news today?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, when I woke up this morning, I had, like, the most amazing surprise. And I know this is probably a bad habit. All our wives would disown us because of this habit. But when you wake up, the first thing you do is check Twitter. And don't do this, people. But today it gave me good news. Then the first thing I read was that Sim Buller, the Canadian of Indian origin, will get a 10-day contract from the Sacramento Kings. And I like literally jumped out of bed and celebrated. What were you guys' first reactions when you saw this rumor, which has of course now been confirmed? Karan, why don't you start it off?
I mean, we were hoping this would happen. I think the surprise was that it happened so soon. And within just a few days of speculation, it became official. So it became official just about, 2 hours ago, I think, NBA India announced it. So, so there you go, guys. The first player of Indian descent is going to be playing in the NBA. I think his first game will be against the Pelicans in a couple of days. I already tweeted that I'm going to celebrate because it's going to be Saturday morning. I'm going to celebrate with butter chicken for breakfast. Let's do it.
Second continuous butter chicken reference in this podcast. Okay,
Karan, you don't need. We know you. This is just an excuse. to get your fingers on butter chicken.
I agree. That might be the one constant in every Hoop Darshan podcast. We just need to mention butter chicken somewhere. Let's do it.
Yes, totally. Akshay, what are your thoughts on Sim Buller's news?
Well, I think it's huge. I think, you know, I have a slightly different view in terms of, I think it's taken some time coming because, you know, again, like I've written that, you know, with the growth of the game, you know, you've had almost every country have their basketball icons in the last 25 years. Mm-hmm. You've had Sabonis come out of Lithuania. You've had Yao Ming out of China. You've had Manu Ginobili out of Argentina. You have someone coming from Congo, you know. So it's just kind of. I think there was this growing, although it wasn't expressed formally, but there was this feeling, you know, with the NBA having invested in India in terms of the, you know, the work that they're doing at the grassroots. That, you know, when is this player going to come? And I think it's huge in its significance because now there is someone, you know, there are some of these young boys and girls who will look at this guy and say that, you know, hey, we can, this is possible. This is entirely possible. This is no longer, you know, a game just for people of a certain, you know, size and build and speed and all. We have it in us, in our DNA to go out and compete with this. So I think the significance of it is huge. Buller's being called up.
Akshay, you wrote in a great article just as this news was publicized about how momentous this moment is in Indian sport. And yes. I do agree with you in the sense where you said that, like, that it makes us believe that we can do it too. Now, of course, he is 7'5". So there's maybe like 0.001% of us of that build. And, you know, obviously, this isn't, you're not going to get now a rush of Indians who make the NBA. But,
right.
But it's, and again, let's clarify, we are not claiming him as Indian. He's Canadian. His parents were born, but his parents were born in Punjab and they moved.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's more about just being of a certain racial descent. And it's important. It's important to have, to finally make that breakthrough. I will also celebrate. I'll celebrate this with butter chicken, but I'll celebrate the day a Satnam Singh or an Indian national makes it to the NBA like a really big butter chicken party.
More butter chicken,
That'll be just insane. That party is going to last for weeks.
Yes.
No, I had an argument earlier in the day with somebody on Twitter who said that can India really claim this guy, and would you consider Victor Oladipo Nigerian, would you consider Andrew Wiggins Jamaican and stuff like that? But I think there's a significant difference in that no Indian has ever dreamt about, you know, reaching that stage. So like any clutching at straws that we can do of brown people playing in the NBA, we will go ahead and do it.
And it's more about, it's not just Indians from India. This is Indians across, around the world can be proud of him, you know, because of what he's done. And I look forward to seeing him play. Hopefully get some minutes behind one of my main favorite players in the NBA, Mr. DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
Imagine both of them together. I think Karan will die out of happiness.
I'm already trying to get the hashtag Boogie Bhangra going. So let's make that happen, right, guys. When they're on floor together.
That's great.
Just taking a step back, and this goes back to what you said, Akshay, a couple of minutes earlier in the podcast about how you remember Game of the Week on Star and stuff like that. I'm a little younger than you. So when I got into the NBA, it was the late 90s. And I unfortunately never had a chance to watch Jordan in his playing years. I mean, Wizards doesn't count. But what I'm talking about is even when I was when I picked up the game on TV, it was just two games a week, right? Friday night, Friday morning
Yes.
and Saturday morning. And I think from there, when of course you remember following basketball on Indian TV, we've come a long way. We get two games a day now.
Yes.
Like how big do you think this is for organic growth of basketball fandom in India?
I think it's huge because, you know, we are able to now see when a game is coming in, you know, kind of on a weekly basis, it's you know, you it's a very kind of dysfunctional relationship which then starts existing with a sport that, you know, you are passionate about. That it's one game in the week. It's perhaps going to be two teams which you may or may not really be passionate about. The guy that you root for may or may not be playing on those teams. Now you have a situation where you have two games a day on Sony 6. It's played 24/7 in those 8 months that the NBA is on. It gives you the opportunity to see, you know, how your team is progressing, who your favorite players are, what is the opposition. It's almost like, you know, how the EPL is shown. It's not shown in bursts and stops and starts. It's continuous. It's seamless. When the EPL is played, it is shown to India, to Indian audiences. Similarly, now the NBA is shown. Yes, they're not showing each and every game which is being played on a day, but you know, two games per day is pretty good.
It's a lot.
It's certainly a lot. And you know, I can tell you this, that your favorite team, whichever that team may be, whether it's Chicago, it's Minnesota, it's San Antonio, you will get to watch at least have them play twice in the week. And you know what? You don't even need television anymore. If you have a decent internet connection, all you need to do is sign in with League
Pass. League
Pass, it's very, very reasonably priced, and you can have you know, just with a regular 1 Mbps connection, you can watch the game. So then it's unlimited. You can watch as much as you want.
You know, I agree that we can watch our favorite teams twice a week, but I would not want to watch my favorite team this season.
Hey, at least they don't show you.
I haven't seen them play twice this season. Actually, I have. I'm so sad. Like, I actually watch a lot of their games and I cry about it. So
hey, you know what? They don't actually show too many Knicks games. Unfortunately, they seem to show a lot of my Lakers games. And
why would they want to show a Knicks game?
They make these schedules before the season, so the Lakers games are, you know, they just assume Kobe's gonna play.
Yeah.
The Knicks, they assume Melo's gonna play, so it's more of the. And
I think there needs to be a little bit of flexibility over there, so
I
that
agree.
You know, even if, and I'm sure that's something which can be managed. But I think in terms of what you want to consume and how much of it, how much that opportunity that is being provided, we've come a long way from how the game was broadcast in India in the mid 90s and how it is broadcast today, you know, in terms of the amount of coverage.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, this goes back, my next question goes back to what you mentioned, Akshay, about people being more aware of different teams, and you can have more favorite teams than just the Lakers or the Bulls or, sorry Karan, no Knicks, but what I'm trying to say is people are way more aware of, you can actually call Kyrie Irving as your favorite player, you can watch Russell Westbrook in small market Oklahoma City Thunder, which probably 10 years ago would not have got any attention. So Karan, how vital is it that fans have so much access and have so much choice to pick and choose teams? Do you think that India is still like predominantly a Lakers country, or or have other teams, you know, from your own personal experiences, maybe do you see more variety of jerseys on the streets, or more people claiming that their best favorite player is somebody else other than Kobe Bryant or Michael Jordan?
I mean, to answer the first part of your question, I think it's great that we have more choices. As Akshay said, like, there's nothing as good as NBA choice. And plus, if you get League Pass, seriously, like, any random game, you'll see something amazing. The Pelicans versus the Jazz, you'll see something amazing happen. Well, actually, the Timberwolves versus the Jazz the other day, where Andrew Wiggins dunked twice on Rudy Gobert and Gobert blocked him. The NBA has so much cool stuff in even the slightly less known teams like Milwaukee. I could watch the Greek Freak play if I had access to that, you know. So, but that said, I don't know about you guys. I still feel that it's still about the stars here. We cannot relate to home. We don't have that. You know, why should we like Oklahoma City more than San Antonio, for example? Like, to us, both cities are equally far away. So what we care about, in my opinion, is which teams have the stars, or which team we have a childhood connection with, or like we kind of or were successful at one point, and we kind of continue to stay loyal to that. And the stars are, you know, in no particular order, probably Kobe, LeBron, Derrick Rose, and maybe until recently, I do see his, because, you know, being a Chicago Bull, having the Michael Jordan thing, you kind of gravitate towards that. People who
true,
used to
true.
Be Bulls fans.
Me too.
Dwight Howard for a while, I saw a lot of that. I mean, he came to India, so those Orlando Magic jerseys are still around a lot. Which I'm sure no one else is buying except a few people over here.
I might buy to burn it. Okay.
You may want to buy the Lakers one to burn.
Yeah, I've already done that. So. Anyway, Akshay, do you feel there's a change in the fans' mindset in India? Maybe, you know, reactions to your articles or any other interactions that you've had with basketball fans in India. Do you feel like there's a shift?
I have seen a lot more, you know, kind of college-going and school-going children. I have wearing these jerseys, and you know, yes, obviously most of them are still, you know, wearing the big jerseys, which are basically, as Karan mentioned, the Lakers and, you know, Cleveland, because LeBron. It's a very star-oriented following. I agree, you know, even within the United States, even when Cleveland wasn't winning but had LeBron in his previous time there, and San Antonio was pretty much the dominant team of the, you know, the noughties. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Cleveland was, you know, the more watched and viewed team. The basketball needs its stars. It's been very rare that, you know, people don't have, you know, a team wins without stars. You know, probably the 2004 Pistons are one such example. Mm-hmm. But it's essentially a game about its stars, and, you know, you have these guys. And I think that's one thing which has, you know, kept the NBA going, that from every generation to generation, from decade to decade, the torch has been passed. So you had the Johnsons and the Larry Birds pass it on to Jordan, who was good enough to carry it himself through the 90s. And then you had, you know, the next generation, which was Shaq and Kobe, and then they passed it on to LeBron and D-Wade. And then, you know, those guys have now, there's a Durant and there's a D-Rose and there's a Steph Curry now who's coming in, James Harden. So, you know, it is about the stars. It is about the big guys. And which is why, you know, if we go back to something a little more technical, like the CBA or the bargaining agreements, those stars really don't make quite the big money that, you know, stars in other sports make. But I mean, that's a slightly technical issue.
Yeah, I think LeBron proves how much of a star-driven league it is, because really he could go anywhere and he'll take the fans with him. Like he single-handedly, and he proved it. He basically went from being, a lot of fans forgot about Cleveland for 4 years, to now, I bet people who, I would say, maybe I shouldn't generalize, but a majority of Miami Heat fans outside of Miami could not name you Miami Heat starting lineup now. last season, you know.
This is
and
true.
That's just, and that just, but that's the nature of the sport, yeah.
Yeah, the fact is, when he announced his decision, you know, the much talked about, and, you know, perhaps he would reconsider doing it ever again. But when he made that decision, or the lead up to the decision, the way the universe was focusing on LeBron James, you would think, if you weren't clued into the sport, that, you know, this was a guy who had won every, or helmed his team to every single NBA championship in the 2000s. And at that time, in 2010, he wasn't even didn't even have one ring against his name.
True, true.
I mean,
so we used to make this joke at that point that, you know, DJ Mbenga and Sasha Vujicic had more rings than.
But I mean, this will happen again when Kevin Durant or Anthony Davis, guys, like, if they become free agents, the drama around them, maybe they won't do it as dramatically as LeBron and got hated for. But the anticipation of the decision will, even with or without rings, because, you know, if KD is healthy, I mean, I love KD, and if he's, I really want him to be healthy. If this is not a serious injury with him, if he's healthy, he is the future of this league. Anthony Davis is the present and the future of this league. So
absolutely, absolutely. I think the league is in very good hands. And,
yeah.
The key is that, you know, hopefully Durant means what he says. His latest comments are that he wants to have his jersey retired with the Thunder.
Yeah.
Because it's so sad that, you know, it's been three seasons now that they've been hit with the injury bug.
Yeah.
They've had Westbrook go down in 2 years ago. Last year it was Serge Ibaka, and I thought they really had a good chance against the Spurs last season.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Again, this season, I think no matter how competitive and how good the Golden State Warriors are, and there are the Clippers and the Trailblazers and all those teams, I think Oklahoma City Thunder, with the way they are shaped now, with all those trades that were made, at the trade deadline, Cantor coming in, and you know, some of the other guys. It's as good a team as any in the league.
Oh, if they were healthy, I think they were my favorites. If that was a healthy team, they were my favorites. So,
agreed.
Should we quickly talk about our MVP picks? I've been thinking about it for too long, and it's been eating me up. Like the MVP decision.
Yeah, so you guys actually transitioned from India basketball topics to NBA way more smoothly than I expected. So, MVP question. It's one of the topics that that is causing a lot of debate. And I think for the first time in a long time, we have literally, you know, three or four different candidates. Anybody can win. Anybody has a strong case. Akshay, as our guest, special guest of this podcast, why don't you tell us who would you pick? If you had a ballot for the MVP, who would you pick?
It's very difficult. I love Westbrook. I really do. And, you know, Karan and me have actually had this point counterpoint. I don't know if he remembers this
on
NBA.com.
I remember that.
He was saying Harden is better. And, you know, and I said Westbrook. And I really love. I haven't seen a more competitive athlete since Bryant in his prime. And, you know, but I will have to say that I think I can't pick one because that's how close it is.
No, you
I
can't
think
cop
it's
out.
Between
you have to pick one. Just do it.
I'll go with James Harden then, you know, because and I'll tell you why. That Westbrook, as good as he's been, and you know, the fact is that, you know, they're still struggling, and if they don't if they don't make it to the playoffs, I don't see how they can give it to him. So his case is he's had far more challenges than Harden has, or the other two, LeBron or that. But, you know, it would be unfair to give it to him ahead of, you know, these guys, because these three teams are definitely in. That's Cleveland, Houston, and Golden State. Golden State, Curry, I think, has been surrounded by quality all through the season. I think Andrew Bogut was down for some time, but not, you know, to the kind of length that Howard has been out for. He's been a great two-way player this season, which is a big improvement, because James Harden was always criticized for copping out on defense. Some of the numbers that he's put up in games is unbelievable. LeBron is a very, very strong candidate, but I think there also there is he has had a, you know, the Cavs had a kind of a slow start to the season. They weren't gelling. I think Harden does it for me. If I had to pick one, it's Harden. It's a very tough decision. It's everyone is snapping at Harden's heels, but I would give it to Harden.
Who do you pick, Karan?
First of all, let me go back to our point counterpoint we did between Harden and Westbrook years ago. Just to be clear, I also like Westbrook more than Harden. but
Yes.
I had to take a point, so I just gotta. But that said, as much as I like Russell Westbrook and how incredible he's been this season, I don't think he is even the top two choice for me, just because I would rate Steph Curry as an MVP option above him. I think my defense for Steph Curry is the first of all the Warriors. I know he's got more talent around him, but the Warriors are on pace to be historically good. I think they're gonna win over 65 games, and I think their point differential is the greatest any team has ever had since the 96-97 Bulls, I think.
95-96, I think.
Okay, yeah. Like anytime you can evoke those Bulls up, you know you're doing
Yeah.
something right.
True.
Um, and and they're not just they're winning on both ends of the floor. And Curry's most interesting thing I heard was he's actually hasn't played in about 14 fourth quarters this season because they've blown teams out. So
Wow.
his stats actually don't look as good just because of the fact that he's killing teams in the third quarter. Like he's famous for those third quarter like 3-point barrages.
Yes.
Now that said, if I had to choose, I will also choose James Harden just because of what he's done with that team. Like they're second or third in the West. He's the NBA's leading scorer with Westbrook. One of those two are up and down. Dwight Howard has barely played this season, and you look down that Houston roster in the Western Conference to be that good. James Harden is carrying them single-handedly, and I feel Curry might get a lot of votes also because of the historical precedent the team is setting, but I may have to again. I might change my decision in 2 weeks, but right now it's gonna be James Harden for me.
Yeah, I'm gonna make for a
Yes.
very boring third panelist and say that I also agree with James Harden for all the reasons that you guys have mentioned. I think that a team of that talent capacity has no business being third in the Western Conference unless you have a very special MVP sort of season. Just like how the MVP is a popular debating point, who would you guys pick for Coach of the Year? Because that also we have Steve Kerr and Mike Budenholzer probably being the top two candidates there. Akshay, who's your pick?
I think it's Steve Kerr. I think the thing about playing in the West is that, while their records might look a little similar, I think Atlanta is just a few games behind Golden State. But the reason the records look similar is that Atlanta plays in the East and
Yep.
Golden State plays in the West. If Atlanta was playing in the West, I don't think they would be somewhere at the 5 or 6 mark, and then you would I don't think we would be having this conversation. And I think there was a recent blog table post also that what was Steve Kerr's smartest choice, and that was actually smartest move that he made, and that was actually vis-a-vis him choosing Golden State over the Knicks or vice
Ha.
versa. But
Oh
I think one
God.
of the
How many
smartest
cheap
things,
shots?
one of the smartest things that
Seriously.
he got this team to do, which has two all Hall of Famers in the making for sure, Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, is that he's got them to play unselfish basketball. I think getting Iguodala to come off the bench was a great move. For a rookie coach, to do some of those things that he has done with this team, it's not easy. It really is not easy. The proof of his success will lie whether he's able to do better than Mark Jackson in the playoffs. But as far as regular season goes, he is there has definitely done a better job than Mark Jackson, and he is Coach of the Year. The one thing that which is a room of improvement for him though is that let him beat this year's technical fouls mark next year. That'll be a room for improvement for him.
I agree. Like Steve Kerr's done some great things, and like I think giving the starting spot to Draymond Green, who's my defensive player of the year favorite, has made. I mean, for a team that was known to be an offensive team to also be the league's best defensive efficiency team, that's
Yeah.
unbelievable. But I would vote for Mike Budenholzer just because I think he's done more with less talent. I'm not
True.
knocking the talent that they have in Atlanta. Obviously, they're pretty talented, but you look up and down the roster, and this team without Al Horford was eighth in the East last season. I know the East isn't that great, but still, like they were eighth in the East without Al Horford, they got Al Horford back, and now they're one. And Al Horford is a great player. I'm a fan, but he's not that great. I think the coach has used. He's been able to kind of bring the Spurs philosophy in Atlanta, and he would get my vote. But you know, it's again a close call. Close call between either of those two.
I agree with you, Karan. I would at this point probably also pick Mike Budenholzer, but maybe you know how the records are in 15, 20 days time when the season ends will play a bigger picture, because Atlanta has kind of tapered off. They don't look as hot as they did in Jan and Feb. So maybe you know if they don't have
post the All-Star break, they've not been able to.
Yeah.
They've maintained their number one status, but not the same streak as pre All-Star.
Yeah.
That is true. So if their record probably doesn't look as special as maybe Golden State's does, then maybe Kerr will get it. But I do agree that, you know, Mike Budenholzer has achieved with less. So that kind of gets my vote as well. And I have one more question before we wrap this up. Imagine a scenario where somebody's holding a gun to your head and you got to pick who's going to win this year's NBA title. Kerr, what's your choice?
Oh man, I actually had a prep conversation with some of my friends that play basketball with these days, just to like mentally prepare myself for this question. I knew this was coming. and so I broke it down, like each conference, who's going to make it to what stage. And I really can't say, this is one of the most open seasons ever. The Warriors are obviously the best team in the league, but they didn't win a single playoff series last year. And I have a hard time giving a championship, like you have to win four series to win a championship, you know, to somebody who didn't even win a single one. So that's a bit, I think the Warriors lose in the Western Conference Finals to the Spurs, and the Spurs, like Spurs continue. Kawhi Leonard has been a monster since he got back. Tony Parker's playing back to his good old Tony Parker days. Tim Duncan's is going to be an all defensive force team again. In the East, I'm going to take a wild card pick. And I'm going to say it's going to be the Chicago Bulls.
Woohoo, me too.
I think the Bulls are going to defeat... I think the way it's standing right now, the Bulls are fourth, if I'm not mistaken. I think the Bulls will upset the Hawks.
They're third.
If they're third, the Bulls will upset the Cavs in second round. And they'll upset the Hawks. And I'm going regardless of... Like, just give me a 50% Derrick Rose or 40%. Like, that's all I need. If I get a Derrick Rose at 50% playing as a better Aaron Brooks, I think this team can win the East. We get to the finals, and I think it's a repeat. San Antonio is taking it again.
It's hard to argue with.
Wow.
Akshay, what do you pick?
Wow. Okay, I'm going to go with something totally different. To me, the East doesn't really matter because
someone's gonna win it. Someone has to win it.
Yeah. So let me complete. Hear me out. It doesn't matter. I don't see any. I think Cleveland is going to somehow manage to come out, and I think it's going to be LeBron driven. In just as much as you know how he managed to come out in 2007, and take Cleveland to the finals. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be one of those seasons, but it won't matter. Matter ultimately, because it's going to be the team from the West which is going to win it. I frankly don't see San Antonio is in the conversation and some other teams are, but I think if I have to go by form, I'll say it'll be Golden State. They're young, they have a top five offense, defense. They have all kinds of players. The only team which I think is a dark horse over here is the Clippers. Though that is a team which I feel, because you know I was just watching them the other day against. I think they were playing Golden State only, and they lost that game. It was a close game, and the thing that was interesting to see, it went down to the last minute, and the Clippers were missing their sixth man. Jamal Crawford. And I think, you know, with you know, Doc Rivers' experience of playing in the postseason, I think that is one team which, you know, on its day can stand up to the all-round talent. You know, their starting five is almost as good as Golden State's starting five, and they have the bench to go with it. They have the stars, they have the names. It'll be fantastic to watch the Clippers against the Golden State.
My issue with the Clippers is, you know, the most recent game you mentioned, Golden State played that without Draymond Green, who I place a lot of attention. Like, I think Draymond Green is a defensive player of the year. And he would have made, I think he would have changed that. And Golden State still won without, like, they didn't even need to play that hard.
True. And they didn't particularly play well either that match. They still somehow squeaked it.
I actually disagree with you. I don't think their bench is any good at all. I think the Clippers bench is pretty weak. And if there's any major injury now, they did pretty well without Blake, actually. I'll give them credit. They really impressed me without Blake Griffin for that 2 month stretch. But in the playoffs, if there's any knock on them, I don't have any faith in Big Baby Davis.
I'm obviously counting on Crawford being fit and healthy. I think that his return is any time. That was the latest update that I had on him. See, the reason I still think that they are I'm counting big on Doc Rivers' experience against Kerrs. I'm saying that rotations shorten in the postseason. The postseason is also about more of a half court game rather than a run and gun game. And I think they have a better post threat, the Clippers, than the Warriors. So, you know, the Griffin inside, I mean, he had 40 points in this game. I know they lost. But that's what I'm saying. It'll make for a great series. Because the only other team which, if they were healthy, were a threat to Golden State was Oklahoma City. And we all know how that is. I don't see Dallas, Portland, Houston stopping any one of these teams. It's San Antonio or the Clippers who can stop Golden State.
I think Memphis could be interesting. They could pose a lot of matchup problems against the Spurs. Because
of post presence.
Yeah. Kaushik, what do you say? What's your pick?
So I think that when it comes down to in the playoffs and however competitive the Western Conference is, I still think that, you know, really there are only two teams that can win it all, and that's Golden State and San Antonio. I think that you can nitpick each of the other team to have some sort of deficiency in the end and not match up to, you know, the depth and the experience and the talent that San Antonio has, and to an extent the same the kind of season that Golden State is having. But I do think that generally, historically, we've had teams that need to, you know, lose a little bit in the playoffs before they start winning. And I think that Golden State will undergo that learning curve this season, probably even next. So that is why I think I'll put my money on San Antonio in the West. And in the East, again, for those who may not already know, after listening to both these podcasts, I am, of course, a Lakers fan, but I've had to temporarily disown the team and adopt a new team. And that is the Bulls this time, probably because of Pau Gasol and probably because of my totally irrational love for Nikola Mirotic. And I think that...
It's not irrational. It's Real Madrid.
It's not irrational. He's damn good.
Real Madrid and that beard. Come on.
Exactly. Thanks for rationalizing that. I feel much better. But yeah, so I think that it's probably... it's probably one of Chicago or Cleveland. I think that more often, I think because how much deeper Chicago is and how much more, you know, overall they have talent in a variety of weapons. They can hurt you in a lot of different ways, and it's just a matter of, you know, if two of those guys click, if Butler and Gasol clicks in one match, if Noah and Rose clicks in another, that's enough. That's enough to win you games, and I think that's really huge because. As well as Cleveland is playing right now, I think that in terms of, you know, basketball tactics and systems, they're a little limited. I think people will start figuring that out a little bit in the playoffs. And they do have LeBron James. That's like the only thing. It feels like I'm talking about Real Madrid versus Barcelona. And at the end of the day, I'd be like, they have Messi. And it's like that.
Yeah, but trust me, it won't matter. The winner is going to emerge from the West.
That is true.
Who do you say, Kaushik, will be the winner? Are you and I are calling the same finals? We're both saying a Bulls-Spurs final.
Yeah, I do think Spurs will win too. And I would probably like for Bulls to win. But I think that Spurs break their... jinx of, you know, not doing repeats, and they'll probably be repeat champions, and Duncan will retire with 6 rings, and I've got it all charted out already.
so let's just come back to this in 2 months when the Wizards defeat the Mavericks in the NBA Finals and we all look like fools.
Great, great. But it's interesting that if you look at the four teams, just a closing thought that the teams that could pick stand up to Golden State, Karan mentioned Memphis. I think Clippers, San Antonio is also someone y'all are saying we can kind of win the West. And all those four teams, three teams, that's Memphis, Clippers, and San Antonio, have a very strong kind of post presence, which is something that Golden State doesn't have. And it's not there in the in the. I know Portland has it a little bit. We don't know what Dwight Howard is going to be. Oklahoma City certainly doesn't have that same level of talent. So it's about if someone can beat Golden State in the post game, that is the team that is going to come through then in the West.
Good
I
point.
can't wait. These playoffs are going to be great. The playoffs are starting in about 2 weeks. Man, we're already here.
Yeah,
Yeah.
season's gone by and it's been a brilliant season. So Akshay, I just wanted to say thank you for joining us on the second episode
It
of Hoop
was great. It
Darshan.
was my pleasure. I'll be happy to come anytime. It's at least, I think this is also one of those rare occasions that I'm actually having a conversation with Karan Madhok also
Yeah.
being there. I may not see him, but
This is the most
this
we've ever
is
talked to each other. This is my Mr. India moment. ये सुनाई दिखाई नहीं देता बट सुनाई देता है. And there's no better way to close it out than a Mr. India moment because all of the Mogambos are gonna go back very cush today. This is the end. Thanks a lot, Akshay. This was awesome.
Welcome and a pleasure, guys.
And thank you everybody for listening into the second episode of Hoop Darshan. We'll be back in another 15 days or so with another guest. And until then, hashtag India Basketball.